Okay, Das Tefillah 101. Here we go. We are discussing, this has really been one of the most difficult chapters, and because it's very off topic in a certain sense. Rav Rakovsky is trying to show us that that Avoda and Tefillah, particularly as Avoda, is there to correct certain mistakes. It serves hashkafic purposes to kind of keep us on track with certain hashkafic ideas. And one of them was the idea that the Jewish people have been rejected. The Jewish people have been rejected, which of course is a major claim of Christianity. We talked last week a little bit about the difference between Islam and Christianity. Did a whole Shavuos once on this in Holliswood, that Islam believes that the Jewish people forged everything from the beginning. There never was an Akedas Yitzchak, it was an Akedas Yishmael. Their entire history is made up. And of course, as we pointed out last week, one has to understand that if they want to understand the Middle East conflict. You can't ignore what the underlying belief of the Jew is throughout the millennia to be able to understand the way that the Jewish people are viewed. Christianity, very different approach. Christianity says that we were the chosen people, and we were swapped with the Christian world. And the proof that the Jewish people have been swapped is the success of Christianity. The fact that Christianity is so powerful, the fact that the Jews are so few, the fact that the Jews are this strange people wandering the face of the earth. Yes, they're very connected to each other, but they can't possibly be the ones who are the closest to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And what we pointed out last time was that the Christian view that the Jewish people have been replaced by the Christians is not simply an apples to apples kind of swap. It's not simply that there was the Jewish people and then we took the Dutch. It's not that we simply took the Jewish people and then we took some small tribe in Africa. It represents a fundamental difference in what it means to be chosen. It's almost an unchosenness. It's not that there's any more a chosen nation. It's that there's a belief. And anyone who buys into this belief, well, they're now replacing the Jewish people, which means that according to this view of Christianity, the whole function, the whole idea of a chosen people basically went away. It's not simply that, as they phrase it, now the Christians are the chosen people. They're the new Israelites. But they're not the new Israelites. There's too many of them. It's a much different concept than God having a small select group of people that he hoped would carry the message onward. And what Rav Rakovsky has been trying to show us is that that seems to be baked in, built in to the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, at least since the time of the Haflaga, the time of the Tower of Bavel, and probably even since the very, very beginning. The concept of Bereshit, the concept of Bishvil Yisrael, Yesh Rosh, Li Rosh, sorry. The phrase Yisrael is Li Rosh. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world in the sense that there's supposed to be a group that's closest to him. And that group is supposed to have extra responsibilities and a very high level of Tahara. Even similar to the way within the Jewish people, there is such thing as Kohanim. And even before there were Kohanim, there were Bechorim. This idea which is built in that not everyone is expected to live at the same level, but there are a succession of people, of groups that are going to live more ascetic lives, lives filled with greater holiness, thus putting them closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And through those individuals, the blessing flows to the rest of the world. And that was the idea that we have been said. The fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves us, the Ma'at Mikol Ha'amim, doesn't just mean that even though you're the smallest people and you might think that he doesn't love you, it turns out you're his favorite. That's the way we understood the Pasuk. We understood that don't listen to what the Christians say. It's not about who has the most. That's all going back to Sinai. He's not looking for the biggest. He's not, he was never looking for that. That's not just what it means. It means that by definition, and remember that according to the Ramchal, it was supposed to be like this even in Gan Eden, that there was supposed to be some inner, there's supposed to be a group of teachers, and that small group, that was supposed to be the group through which things came to the world. That's a fundamental Jewish belief. And when the Christians say that the Jewish people were replaced, so effectively, they're not just saying it was a swap. They're saying the whole idea, the whole way the world functions changed. The whole way the world, the whole way God interacts with mankind has now changed. And there is no such a thing, so to speak, as a chosen people. Says Rav Rakovsky, this is how when we daven, and when we bring karbanos, and in this chapter we equated the two. How is prayer like sacrifices? Because they establish that everything comes back to Him. Everything is unified. When we give animals to God, we're not giving them to Him. We've said this many times. We're giving them back to Him. When we burn an animal, we're not, chas v'shalom, degrading animals. We're degrading animals vis-a-vis God. Vis-a-vis God, this is nothing. It goes up in smoke. It disappears. The fact, the way we bring karbanos establishes that we believe that everything that looks so independent and so spread out and so varied really all goes back to one source. And the same thing is true of tefillah. By tefillah as well. When we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu for every little thing, what we attest is that everything goes back to Him. Every single thing goes back to one source. There aren't multiple sources. There aren't multiple powers and forces and all this and that. That very belief, says Rav Rakovsky, is a belief that a singular God would have a singular people. And that just as this sort of this funnel where everything connects back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it makes sense that there's some sort of group towards the top of that funnel through whom all the blessing of HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes. So he says, Va'afa avoda hazos lo bachar Hashem yisparach ki'im Yisrael, says the Maharal at the beginning of Nesivas Olam. Nesivas Olam, in the beginning of Nesiv HaAvoda. He says, this service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu was chosen specifically for one people. V'zeh k'mo shamarnu sh'akarbanos he'morim, the karbanos show ki Hashem yisparach echad ve'ein zulasa. The karbanos are there to show that there's only one God. V'lekach ra'ui sh'yeh makriven lefanav am Shehu Echad. And therefore it makes sense to have a nation that is united, a nation that is unique, a nation that is small enough to call one, sort of interfacing with that God who is one. Very hard to understand exactly what the Maharal means here. It's very hard to understand what the Maharal means usually. He uses these terms. For the Maharal, everything has to be similar. Everything represents something. A singular God, a singular people. But what does that mean? I think that's what Rakovsky is trying to teach us. That if we attest to the fact that there's one God and everything funnels back towards Him, it makes sense that He's not going to interact separately with 70 different nations. The first step is going to be a one-to-one relationship. If there's a singular God, He should interface with the world with a singular people. And from there, it'll spread out through the human beings, through the creatures, and through the rest of nature. Those who are not Echad, and we pointed out the fascinating diuk from Chumash, and when it comes to the Jewish people going down to Egypt, they're called Shivim Nefesh. But when it comes to the descendants of Esav moving, it speaks of six nefashot. That the Jewish people are somehow united. And of course, we mentioned this last week. Clearly, being a united people is core to what we are. When we can't get together, it threatens our very existence, because that's the core of what we are. It's not just a nice feature that if we get along, then God says, oh, that's so nice, kiddies, you're getting along. You all get a prize. That's core to what we are somehow. When we act against our core nature and can't get along with other Jews, we're no longer an Am Echad. And once we're no longer an Am Echad, Chas V'Shalom, we can't serve this function of being that conduit for the world of Hashem's blessing. If you think of the second temple, which according to Chazal was destroyed because of Sinas Chinam, and if you think of the temple as that interface, as that portal, the gateway for God's blessing into the world, then that's a very profound idea. It's not that we happen to have a sin. Because we weren't getting along, God says we should need a punishment. And what was the punishment? That he should destroy the Beis HaMikdash. No. The Beis HaMikdash is that portal where the one God interacts with a singular people. And from there, all the blessing goes, right? We say that if they only understood what was coming from there, they never would have destroyed it. But it makes sense that if we can't get along, if we can't be a singular people, that sin, even though it's not so terrible, it's not like the sins of the first Beis HaMikdash. The sins of the first Beis HaMikdash were the worst sins you could do. The sin of Sinas Chinam is not so terrible in and of itself, but it undermines what the Beis HaMikdash is, and it undermines what we're supposed to be doing. The Maharal basically says that in the beginning of Netzach Yisrael. Maral says that in the first Beis HaMikdash there was the Shekhinah. And we did these terrible Averis, and what happens when you do these terrible Averis? The Shekhinah has to go away. It says in many Pesukim, the Shekhinah can't coexist with us if we're going to do certain things. What did you have in the second Beis HaMikdash? You didn't have the Shekhinah anymore. So Maral says, what did you have? It served as a focal point for the Jewish people to unite and connect with the HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what was left. It was just a building at that point, pretty much. It was just a place for us to get together. The Shekhinah, in a certain sense, wasn't present there as much. So Maral says, when we got the Sinas Chinam, it wasn't that Sinas Chinam was so terrible, but it undermined the only thing we had left. Ki adarabba, osam she'ena machad ein bahem hora al achduso yisbarach. A people that is not united, a people that is so different, cannot be God's people. Because God doesn't have many flavors at the end of the day. The ability for us to be one, even though we are essentially, we appear to be different, and we have different flags for different shvatim. But when we are able to be one, despite the fact that we seem in certain ways to be different, that shows that even though HaKadosh Baruch Hu seems to do things at different times for different reasons, in different ways, but he's also really one. That type of unity is rare even for the Jewish people, but it can be accomplished by the Jewish people. And again, it's not supposed to be unity. It's not uniformity. God doesn't present himself as uniform to us. He presents himself as ultimately the pieces coming together into a unified whole. That's what we're supposed to be. What does it mean we're a goy echad ba'aretz? La'umas ha'shivim umos ha'nifradim. That's what we said before. The difference between shivim nefesh and not. Va'achar shezachinu la'haskil b'ma'alosam shel ha'mishtal shlem yimene yisbarach. Now that we've begun to understand what it means to be a little bit under God, an extension of a one God, a one kind of people. Halohem goralo shel habori yisbarach. Le'umas goralam shel kochos v'sari hateva. We are the group that is supposed to be able to speak out against the fact that everything is just random and that everything is natural. Mevuarim lanu dvar meila. But Parshas HaKarbanos, he repeats himself something he said before. Lohuzkar af shem mishmosav hakadoshim. In all of the karbanos, He only uses one name. Tanya Amar Reb Shimon ben Azai, Bo Re'e Maksiv Beparshas Karbanos. Look what it says in Parshas Karbanos. Shelo Nemar Behen Lo Kel V'lo Elokim Ela Havaya. It only says Yud Kei Vav Kei by the Karbanos. Shelo Litein Pischon Peh Lebal Din Lachlok. Because the whole idea of the Karbanos is you should understand that it's all coming from one source. Yud Kei Vav Kei Haya Hove Yiyeh. Past, present, future. We don't even want to put in any other names because you might think that you're supposed to bring a korban to Elohim and a korban to Shakai. The whole purpose of the korban is to attest that there's only one. La omra mishuyos harbehein, Rashi says, that a person should say, chas v'shalom, that there are many different sources of power. V'kach kolam unusenu hu b'shem havaya baruchu, shehu shema etzem sheinamora mipula, mipu'ula rakmora ahaviyosu tamid ve'yosem ha'atzmo. As opposed to the different names of God which speak of who, what he does, which speak of what he does at certain times and in different ways, Havaya simply speaks of his essence, his eternal essence. Masha'en kein ha'akum, eina masigim rak bishar shmos, she'ena rak mishutofim, umushalom mipu'olosav. The nations of the world aren't able to conceive of that. They're not able to get close enough. That's the idea of Avodah Zarah, we pointed out. The whole idea of Avodah Zarah is to put a blockage, to put a layer between you and the Ribono Shel Olam, not to interface with his essence, but to somehow put nature and other things before him. That's the goral of the other people. Lachein ein dveikim b'shem Yisparach. That's why they can't ultimately attach. This is the gra in Evan Shleimer. Finally, oops, just a little bit more. He quotes the Gemara in Avodah Zarah. The Gemara in Avodah Zarah says that the minim, Amr Lei Haminim, the Rav Safra. Okay, the minim often is the early Christians who didn't believe necessarily in one God. Famous Gemara at the beginning of Avodah Zarah says, "Rak eschem yadati mikol mishpachos ha'adama, al kein efkod aleichem eskol avonoseichem." The pasuk in Amos says, God says, "I only loved you, and therefore I'm punishing you for all your sins." The Gemara says, "Man de isle sisya, barachame masikla." Right, as Rashi explains, someone who has anger, he brings it on his beloved. This was the claims of the Christians. These are the claims of the early Christians. You were destroyed. The Romans took over. Clearly it's over. God wouldn't do this to you if he loved you. She'ela zu mevateit et tfisas ha'adam she'enu mamin bemunas ha'yichud. This is the statement of someone who doesn't believe that everything comes from one place. When he sees all the difficulties that come to Jewish people, he says, God must hate them. God must have left them. This is a worldview that can only see the present, that can only see the here and now, that can only understand events on the surface exactly the way they seem to be. Hasaga kafishi nisbar b'mareches hateva. This is a way of understanding nature, simply looking at things as they are and not looking at them and what's behind them. Lefi hashkafa zu mishenira nenash umisyaser b'tmidus ha'yidei aborei. According to this version, someone who's punished by God a lot. Simon hu shezeu ratzon aborei. God wants him to be punished. Lesono, to hate him. Lezancho, to chase him away. Tofsimes metzius hara kedavar muchlat. They see the evil in the world as something real, as something permanent. Kiratzen habore, kemamar turnus rufus masei de habore naim. That's not going to go into that whole statement, but looking at things simply the way they were there, looking at that—that's it. A simple view of the world. Yisrael ma'aminim b'munas hayachid, but we believe in the belief that everything comes from one source. And all the love and all the chosenness came from one source, and that's the very same source. Emuna shekol inyan harava v'hayisurim noadu l'shem kabbalas ha'atava hashlema. That that all of the bad and all the difficulty and all the things that we're going through is just to get to the ultimate good. For chol ma shenira b'darchei hateva ra, and everything that we see that just on first glance seems to be evil, because we can't conceive of a larger picture, be'emes hu atov ma'od, really is something great. Someone told me, I was talking to a parent yesterday, we talked to a lot of parents, I was talking to a parent yesterday, and he told me that his Rebbe told him a few things in high school. And one of the most powerful things that his Rebbe told him in high school was that the world as we see it is like the back of a, what would you call that, something you crochet? Like a needlepoint. He said that the world we see it is like the back of a needlepoint. And it looks utterly chaotic, and things are sticking out all over the place, and they don't make any sense. And yet, but we don't get to see the front of the needlepoint. And the front of the needlepoint, we see that this thing that you care about so much, you just keep puncturing it with a needle. You keep pushing through a needle again and again and again into this thing that you're working, that you love so much and you care about so much. Why would you puncture it with a needle so many times? But that's what he says. V'chein ana lehem Rabbi Abba, l'minim, we'll end with this. He says, I'm sho lechem mashal. L'ma davar dom ela adam shenosei mishnei b'nei adam. It's an example of a person who is owed by two people. Echad ovo ve'echad sono, the Gemara says in Avodah Zarah. One of them he hates and one of them he loves. Ovo nifro mimenu ma'at ma'at. Sono nifro mimenu bevat achat. The one that he hates, he just comes and collects it one day. The person that he loves, he comes back to day after day after day to get a little bit more of a donation. Another tiny little stab wound. Another time the needle goes through. How many times, thousands of times the needle goes through. But you can survive those little puncture points. You can survive those little things. And even if you can't understand what's being built, it's all in these tiny little holes. Ma'at, ma'at. Lifdosa me'avanosim k'dei she'yizku le'olam haba, Rashi says. With a goal of building a beautiful tapestry when we get to the other side. It could be that it's the other side of Mashiach. It could be it's the other side of the world as we see it. But the way we experience life is a needle point in construction. Again, the needle goes in and goes in and goes in. And we try to figure out what could this possibly be for? But we're looking at the back of the needle point. We can't begin to see what's on the front, the beautiful picture that's being made. Zeu yisod emunas hayochid. Shekol mashehu ra batchila, everything that looks bad and evil in the beginning, eino yotze mirashus acher chas v'shalom. It's the same loving God who doesn't grow old and doesn't give up and doesn't change. It's the same one. Sheyuchal yiskayim negdo el esofo hu tov vaday. Says the Ramchal that it's in the end, this is all towards a beautiful tapestry. Darga zu shalemunas v'yedias ritzono yisbarach hinachlas am hamyachadim yisrael yodei shemo yisbarach. So when we attach everything back to the Ribono Shel Olam, we effectively attest that whatever it is that's going on here is from him, and if it's from him, it's part of a larger plan. When we take the difficult things in our life and we daven for them, and we don't assume that it's because God abandoned us, but because God, for some reason, meant for this to happen to us. And that's why it's worth talking to him about it. And that's why it's worth bringing it back to him in tefillah. When we do that, we effectively establish that everything around here is part of one huge tapestry. That's what tefillah does. And if, in fact, our own lives are one sort of tapestry, then we can understand that Kol Shekein, certainly the lives of the Jewish people and the history of the Jewish people, is a similar sort of tapestry. We understand that that needle has come back and through the needle point, the dugma, how do you say that in English? I don't know. The dugma, and it's gone through the pattern so many times, and it's so many times, and it just keeps coming back. We don't know. But by attesting that everything comes from Hashem, by bringing everything back to Him, by bringing karbanos, by davening, we attest not only that our own lives make sense and our own lives are in His hands, but that the lives of the Jewish people are in His hands as well. And that's how tefillah ultimately is not simply a belief in our belief in one God and a belief that there aren't two forces, but a belief that chas v'shalom, Jewish people are never going to be replaced. And this is all just a very, very long journey to get to a certain place. We are heading closer to that place now on JFK. Mitzvah Hashem, we'll see you all there. We won't come back. But if we do, no, we'll keep learning on Zoom. So we won't have shiur next week. I do try really hard to get these shiurim in, but we'll be on a plane. That much, I don't think I can pull off. So we will Mitzvah Hashem continue in 2 weeks. We have one small piece to finish this section about how the Emuna of the Goyim is not correct, and Chas v'Shalom, we weren't rejected. Okay, I wish everyone a good couple of weeks. Dr. Goldowski, I hope we run into you. Rechovos Yerushalayim.
Amen.
Okay, we'll see you soon.
All right, safe travels.
Bye-bye.
Safe travels.
Thanks, good to see you, Mark. Who is Jeffrey Gelfand?
Oh, it lives in Riverdale.
Excellent. Welcome to the Shear tonight. Okay. Hope to see you back. Bye.